People focus on certain areas, you know, the mind. You can go to university and you can become intellectual and you could calculate things there and grow intellectually, of course, developing your mind. Then your body, we can go to the gym and we could exercise. You know, you just can't get books to read about the gym. You got to actually go to the gym and start lifting those things. You could have all the books, read them all day long. Imagine that that's going to happen to you, but yet there's going to have to be some exercise involved if you're going to be able to be that bodybuilder physically. But then on the inside of you is a spirit. And in this, your spirit, God will speak to you and talk to you in your spirit. Everybody say, God talks to me in my spirit. So that's on the inside of you. And God's going to communicate. He's going to bring his message across to you. And it's going to be awesome and wonderful when we become obedient to what God's word has to say. Just like a little baby growing up. There's a few babies in the room. You could see them growing up. They're going to start to develop. They're going to start to crawl. They're going to start to walk. They're going to start to run. And they're going to be able to do things on their own. And so we want to talk about this morning about developing your human spirit on the inside of you, becoming strong powerhouses. So let's pray and believe God. Everybody believing here, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that each one here wants to develop spiritually. They want to grow in the knowledge of you. They want to accomplish feats. They want to accomplish things in the spiritual realm. They want to accomplish things in the natural realm. And so we want to thank you this morning. Holy Spirit, you're the great teacher. O fukurama senderavaki sita ramasa izebokushtukuramasa. That teaches us. That shows us exactly the way we need to go. And we want to say thank you in Jesus' name that when we leave this place, we will feel stronger spiritually to be able to conquer and defeat all the adversaries that come our way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You know, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14, it says, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit of man on the inside will sustain his infirmity. That means when tests, when trials, when temptations come against you, guess what? That spirit on the inside of you, which is the real you, because you are a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, or 23 says, I am a spirit. I possess a soul and I live in a body. And so you are a spirit. I know we've been to funerals and my heart goes out to ones. But guess what? In that funeral casket there or that jar is a body. That is just the body, the human temple that they walked around on this earth. The real man, the real woman is gone on to eternity. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And thank God for a soul. You know, I believe more than anything, I desire to learn more about the soul because the emotions of man are awesome. I love being happy. Amen. If someone gave you $1,000, would you be happy? Amen. If you went out for a nice meal, maybe a meal that you really enjoy, guess what? It's going to put a smile on your face. And so thank God for the character of the human being. The soul, the mind, the will, and emotions of the man are real. And it is true that that soul and that spirit are going to go on to eternity. But the Bible says here in Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit who can bear? When your spirit is down and out, when your spirit is low, when your spirit is sad and gloomy, nothing's going to change. Same old, same old. You know, that statement should be shot. You know, it's not the same old, same old. It's going on from glory to glory. My Bible says from morning to morning, he encourages me. Morning to morning, he gives me a fresh perspective of his will. What's his desire? Is he a happy God or is he just out in the back 40 somewhere passed out? You know, you can't even wake him up. No, he is well aware of everything that you're going on. He sees every emotion that you have. He knows every feeling that you have. And he's concerned about that. A beautiful story I heard just the other day, and I love Brother Hagin's stories. And this was when he was just in the beginning of his ministry. He was married, two small kids, and he's out on the road. They would write letters to each other every day, and he got a letter, and the letter stated, the two kids are sick. I'm in a mess. Emotionally, I'm a mental wreck, his wife, and I got no money. And that's in the letter. So Brother Hagin looked at that letter. He put it in his Bible. He thought, well, I better go pray about this. I'm going to go. So he put it in his Bible. He went to the church. He put it on the altar there, and he started doing things that everybody else he saw do. You know, he was healed supernaturally by just believing the word, but sometimes you can let the word of God slip from you and you could forget about it. The way that God ministered to you, spoke to you, taught you, guided you, directed you, you can put that aside so quickly in this natural world. So he put that letter on the altar. He said, God, the kids are sick. My wife is distressed. She's all bent out of shape. She's all by herself. I got no money. You know, he's looking in the air, silence, nothing there. So he goes at it again. Then he thought about all the things that people did. Bang the altar. So he started to hit the altar. God, the kids are sick. I got no money. And my wife is distressed. And he would do that over. He did that for about an hour and a half, wore himself right down. He went home to the parsonage next door, laid on the bed, and whew. And he thought, you know, I can't let the devil defeat me that quick. So he goes back, takes his Bible, takes the letter, goes back to the house, or goes back to the church, goes through the same format all over. The kids are sick. My wife is in distress. She's all by herself, and I got no money. Nothing. Absolute silence. He's quiet. And then he all of a sudden something came to his heart. He says, what are you doing? Why are you acting like that? You didn't hear me read the letter? So he goes through it again. He tells God, the kids are sick. My wife is distressed. I got no money. Again, the voice came, why are you acting like that? And that went on a few times. And then what God spoke to his heart, he says, isn't my word sufficient for you? He said, of course your word's sufficient to you. Well, then what does my word say? In Matthew 8:17, himself, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Okay, those kids. Thank you, Lord. I believe I received. Amen. Those kids. Thank you for those kids. Then what about your finances? What does Philippians say? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Oh, okay, sorry about that. Okay, thank you, Lord. He got up from there, he shook himself up, he went outside, he said, you know, I feel a lot better. I feel a lot better. He said, the grass looked different, things looked better. Next thing you know, a letter came, and his wife writes, you know, the kids all of a sudden got better yesterday. And, you know, some finances came in. Didn't say anything about her, but anyways. So what's it saying? He's saying that he took God at his word, and God expects you and I. And we all cried. And for many times we cry, we shed those crocodile tears, and just lay them out. God, 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 do something for me. God, 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 like one person, God, do it anyway, by hook or crook, just do something. But did you know what? It's not by hooks and crooks. It's not by crawling and begging. It's by taking God at his word, believing his word. And if we're strong on the inside of us, guess what? We're going to be able to say, this is what the Bible says. Yes, my feelings are clamming in under me. Yes, this is emotionally draining. But I thank God that I've got new strength in you. My Bible is true. God, you've given me experience back when I was born again, and I'm still walking on with you. Amen? And God does not want it to end right now and here. Oh no, the 2020 was a horrible year. Well, just to let everybody know, and I'm not bragging, 2020 has been a good year. Amen. 2020, we were able as a family to give more money than we've ever given in the history of being at Faith City Church in 15 years. Amen. 2020, more money has come into the household. I'm not saying from the church. I'm saying this other areas. More money, mainly Cindy. But anyways, a lot of money has come in. So God is faithful. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will not bow to you. And many times the world wants you to bow to their system. They want to push you around, but we're not getting pushed around. Amen? All of a sudden he says, get out. We're not getting pushed around. We're going to stand firm on the word of God. We're going to believe. This is a faith church. I love this church because it's a faith church. I love the pastors. They're faith people. I lived in Tulsa for 6 years. We lived there. Plus, I went to Bible school. And did you know what? What we have here is just the same faith. There's no difference. In fact, this might be greater because the Bible says where there's harder adversities, God's grace is more sufficient to come out and show himself strong on behalf of you. Amen? He does want to show himself strong on every single person. He doesn't want anybody left out. Absolutely none. Every single one receiving God's very best, trusting God and his word. So it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16, though the outward man perish, this model that you're looking at here is 54 years old. Just the other day, 20. There's a 30-year-old model over there, 32. There's the, I'm not even going to say it because it's not my place. But anyways, this is a 52. So the outward man perishing. Everybody say, well, why did you believe God for glasses? What's the matter with you? You got no faith? Where's your faith? You trust God then. Believe for me that I don't need glasses. It's easy to point the finger. Hey, point the finger, point the finger. Why is this person like that? Why is that person like that? Look at your own self. Go like that and look four fingers and one thumb out. It just amazes me. You know, right when the pandemic happened, I got a phone call. Oh, you guys going to, are you guys going to lay hands on the sick? If you're faith people, you go lay hands on the sick. Hey, God can do more for you sitting there than 100 hands laid on your head. Amen? It has everything to do with your spirit. You reaching out and saying, yes, God, I believe that word of God. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Loneliness? Oh! No loneliness in God's kingdom. Absolutely none. God does not a lonely person. We're not lonely because the Spirit of God. You know, my Bible says when I obey the commandments of God, that Jesus said, I'll manifest myself for you. How would you like to see Jesus manifest himself towards you? You just obey his commandments, he'll manifest himself towards you. Amen? Jesus says, you love me, you're going to love the Father. Guess what? We, Father and Son, are going to come make our abode in you. Woo! You got a full house there, girl. Amen. You got a full house. You got God the Father. You got God the Son. You got Holy Ghost. All three in one on the inside of you. You should be just full of the power and the anointing and the blessing of Almighty God. Amen. Anytime you want to be discouraged and say, why is it like this? You say, no, I'm not going to listen to that little small voice that twerps. I'm going to listen to God Almighty voice who says, I'm with you always, even into the end of the age. In this world, you will have tests, trials, tribulations, tests, but be of good cheer. That means you got to pull up the cheeks again and start smiling. I'm going through a test. I'm going through a trial. Oh, they said this. They said that. Oh, this is bad. No, I'm going to count it all joy. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I understand now how those guys, John G. Lake looks in the mirror and he says, where that guy goes, God goes. You say, he's stupid. Oh, yeah, he flies through the air to go to Africa. That's real stupid. We're talking spectacular, supernatural. And just to let everybody know, Pastor said, every service at this place is supernatural and wants an encounter with Almighty God. That was on a newsletter right at the very beginning of time. And it's true. When Pastor Day preached on Wednesday, I was sitting there listening, and I usually always tell Pastor, you know, that spoke to my heart. This I was reading. This I just thought about it, and you just said it. And here Brother Dave says, you know, 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing which you received of him abides in you, and need not that any man teach you. Well, I just read that. And I said, oh, people could get confused because it says you don't need any teachers, but actually you do need teachers if you take the whole Bible as a whole. Teachers are in the body of Christ because God placed them there. But he was just saying that the Holy Spirit's going to be your teacher. And I said, wow, amen, this is working for him. That means it's working for every single one. Why? Because the place is full of faith. The place is full of the anointing of God. Excuse my spitter. And then there's at least 6 feet here. This place is full. Amen. And God wants you blessed. So though the outward man perish, understand, you're not going to live on this earth forever. I'm believing God for the very best. I got 54 out of it. I'm going to keep going. Amen? and I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep developing, and nothing's going to stop me. He's gone tomorrow, eh? Because we're trusting God. Amen? God on the inside of you, with a plan, with a purpose. What's the desire He placed in you? You think it's there just to rot? No, excuse the bad word. Is it there just to sit there and do nothing? No. I heard that Jesus can't even be heard on the earth unless you open your mouth. Go about teaching and preaching and healing. Guess what? Who's Jesus healing? Is He just automatic? No, He usually uses an individual. He uses somebody to pray for somebody. He uses somebody to teach somebody. He uses somebody to preach to somebody. He uses you. You're His body. Amen. So though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So number one, to get a strong spirit, you got to attend to God's word. You got to put that thing first place. The dictionary meaning is to take care of, to devote one's time to service, like a nurse attends a patient. You're going to attend to God's word. That means God's word is first and foremost in your life. I thank God for my family. I love them dearly. But guess what? There's no family, as far as I'm concerned, without God. Amen. I've seen where I've come from. I've known myself. I'm well acquainted with me. I saw myself growing up and stuff, and I see the blessings of God. And God Almighty is the one who gives. Amen. He's the one. So look at the blessings in your life and say, thank you, Lord, for those blessings. Thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to my heart. Thank you daily. I've got fellowship with you. Thank you daily. I'm encouraged by you and your word and whatever you ask, and you could use me for any service. Praise God. Go ahead. So number one is attend to God's words. Over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, it says, and that's a great one, my son, attend. That means put God's word first place. Let God's word, and yes, you have to read the word, but get that word in your spirit and in your heart. You know, they didn't have no Bible really in the days in the beginning there. They just heard the messages and jotted down, I guess, or put it in their spirits. There, we got a whole big book full. But yet, how hard sometimes it is to read this big book. But yet, if we know that this is going to change and transform our life, guess what? Then there's things in there. Even the book of Leviticus, guess what? There's things in there. And though it's hard sometimes to plow through it, get in the New Testament and read God's word. So attend to God's word. Put it first place in your life. Say, this is what God's word says. I'm going through this situation. What does God's word say? Amen? What does God's word say? And then act on that word. So put it first place. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ears. So these are the ears unto my saying. You have spiritual ears as well. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. That means you got to get God's word right on the inside of you. Right on the inside of you, God's words are abiding on the inside of you. They're safe. They're secure. They're inside of you. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Right there, God's words are health to all their flesh. And then it tells you a few things. Put away from you a forward mouth and perverse lips. Why would it say put away from you? Why? Because when you speak things that are negative, when you speak things that are doubtful, they'll get into your spirit. I always wondered why in the book of some of the Gospels there, it said, from out of the abundance of the heart come murderers and come this and come adulterers and all that. I said, how in the world is that in there when your spirit is alive unto God? Well, those things can get in there if you put them in here. You put them in your mind first, guess what? It starts to filter down into your spirit. Filter down into the spirit. The more you think about it, the more you think about it gets in your spirit. That's why meditating and thinking on God's word is so important, because it starts to filter down and get into your spirit. You start to get a full heart, full of the word of God. Your heart becomes so full of God's word. But if you let other things, maybe rejection or whatever other bad words you can think about, filter down in your heart, guess what? That can get in your heart. And then you're going to have a chip on your shoulder. And you don't want the chip on your shoulder. You want to be full of God's word. So Proverbs 4:27 is vital important. Number two, you got to meditate. Think on God's words. That's extended thought. Reflection is the dictionary meaning. It says here in Psalms 1, verse 1 to 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, God's word, and there he meditates. Everybody say meditate. That means you're going to think upon God's words. You're going to put that word first place in what it says about your situation. You know, that's the most important thing is what you need. Amen? This is not about someone else. This is about what you need. And what does God's word say about your scenario and your situation? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despite the shame of the cross, is now set down at the right hand of Almighty God. We look to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He says, the only words I say is what my Father says. The only actions I do, you see the works? I didn't do them. Jesus didn't do the works. No, his Father did them. And guess what? You couldn't heal a gnat's wing or a fly's eyeball. You couldn't heal an ant. You can't. We don't have healing power in ourselves per se, but God does. Amen? He's the healer. He's the one. So let's listen to what he says. Walk around and talk. That doesn't mean that you're a zombie, okay? You're not just like, oh, you know, the monks. I always thought I would be a monk. I didn't really want to, but nothing was going good for me until I got married. But anyways, I was going to be a monk, eh? And I saw those guys, they walk around like this, eh? I seen them, pictures of them, eh? And then I thought I would join the Hutterite farm. Sorry about that, huh? I thought, hey, these guys are taken care of well. You know, things are great. You know, join the Hutterites and become one of them, eh? Hey, they're going to feed you. They're going to clothe you. Probably get a couple of girls. But guess what? God's plan is better. God's plan is much better. Amen? Find out what he wants for your life. Find that out. So to develop your spirit, man, to get that strong. Amen? To get that strong. Ed, we got to get that strong. Amen? Getting that strong. We got to develop that spirit, man, and we do that by taking God's word first place and then meditating on God's word. Putting it first place, thinking about it. And the third and final one is, is act on God's word. That means you got to be an actor of God's word. You got to put God's word to practice. Amen? Everybody say, I'm a doer of the word. So you got to do the word. That means James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. That means you're going to have to do the word. You're going to have to take it like Brother Hagin said, so to speak, and you've got to put that into practice in your life. You got to say, Lord, I am a spirit. I possess a soul and I live in a body. I love saying to myself, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Up until 1987, I was a certain creature, but after I was born again, I become a new creature. That means that's something that has never before existed. That's something that's laid aside, and now I'm pressing on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Being a doer of the word, not just one that hears the word. You could hear the word and 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 hear the word until you act on it. Amen? Back in 1986, I was not born again, and I was in Hudson, Ontario. Anybody know where Hudson is? I actually popped in there just the other day and took a peek, and I thought, wow, this is so weird. I'm getting out of here. No. What it was, kids, close your ears. But I was at the Hudson Hotel.
It's not there anymore.
But anyways, and the hotel in 1986 closed down. I didn't close down. I mean, I closed it down. I didn't close it down that way. I mean, it was there. It was over. It's time to leave. And so there was four of us. We left that place. And we walked out of that building, and there was all kinds of turmoil. I don't know what it is, but anyways, it seems like when things are evolved in the world, there's all kinds of mess. But anyways, it was a nightmare, and there was some people on the hill, actually. natives. And they were shining a big spotlight down on us. And they said, "We're going to kill you." And so we took off running. And everybody disappeared. And I ran and I hid by a big rock. And I waited and there was all kinds of... And then all of a sudden it's quiet. And I said, "Well, I got to get to work tomorrow. I've got 7 miles because I know the camp is 7 miles down that track." So I took off running all by myself. And I thought, "This is easy." And I just went after a while. I'm like, "Oh, man, I can't take this." And I was walking. I had these little mesh shoes. And the railroad track was very rough. I don't know if you've walked on them very much. But it was rough. And then all of a sudden I got scared. Have you ever got scared? Like, I'm not talking boo. I'm talking trembling. I'm petrified. And now, for some reason, I'm not scared of much. You know, yeah, you could scare me, but it's just like, who cares? You know, you could shoot me right now, and I'd be like, okay, go ahead. And so it was something funny. But anyways, it was so black, and it was so dark, and I was so lonely, and I thought an animal's going to eat me, and I was by myself. I can't believe those guys left me, and I'm trucking, and then I would be bumping into the side of the rail, would go like this, and I would bump into it, and I'd keep going, and I was so fearful. And then I remembered something that came to me when I was 8 years old. I remember being in a Pentecostal church in the basement, and the teacher wanted us to memorize the scripture, and I hated memorizing. It just wasn't for me, but I tried my very best. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." I memorized that scripture, and that came up to me from someplace, and I started saying that, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." And I said it over and 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 over until finally, you know, I'm not exaggerating. I said it over and over and over and over and over. Until finally I was walking and I said, "Do I walk through the valley of shadow? Feel no evil for you." And then I said, "Wow." And then actually it all happened at 1 second. It became light out because the sun came up. But that's in the natural, but in the light, and the light came on, and I said, "Though I walk through the valley of shadow, you're with me." Oh, I said, "Oh, ooh." I knew that God was with me at that very moment. But guess what? I talked a little bit to him, but I didn't get born again. I didn't get saved. But it was quite an encounter that I can't forget about. And it was while walking there, and then we got to camp, and then all the guys are, "Oh, wasn't that great? Oh, that's so crazy." And then pretty well you kind of push that experience aside, and you start thinking. But how did that work? That worked by confessing God's word. And this is a non-saved person. I wasn't saved. 1 year later, I made a commitment to God to give my heart to God totally, and it worked supernaturally. It was just like, wow, I became new on the inside. But how that word works, and that's how that word works. If it'll work for an unsaved person by confessing God's word, it can become a reality in your life. So don't take it for granted that about acting on God's word. You confess that word. You say, "I don't feel like it." You don't go by how you feel. You go by what God's word says. God's word says, "I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world." And so you got to act and obey God's word and his spirit. So his word is right here. This is the word. This is the written word. But then his spirit also is on the inside of you. On the inside of your spirit, guess what? God's resting in there. And he's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to show you things to come. If you ever want to read a good book, you read How to Be Led by the Spirit of God by Brother Hagin. He says that the inner witness, you're being led by the witness of your spirit. He's going to lead you. He's going to direct you in the minor things of life. And then he's going to, you also can be led by the still small voice on the inside of you. And then also the voice of the Holy Spirit. So God's got like multiple ways. I love it when Pastor says about, you know, it's hard to not follow the plan of God for your life. It's hard not to follow the plan of God for your life. Why? Because he's made so many provisions for us that we can be led by God. And so acting on God's word, simple confessing God's word will help you to build your faith. Say, "Oh, Father, you know, forgive me for when I've said something wrong or did something wrong." You're acting your faith. You're asking for forgiveness. Maybe when you do something nice for somebody, guess what? You're acting. You're being a forgiving person. Amen? And so that's acting on God's word. You have to act on God's word. So we get God's word, we meditate on God's word, and then we act on God's word. Everybody say, act on God's word. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise and glory and honor for being led by you, that we can develop in you. If you speak in the Spirit, go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. If you don't pray in the Spirit, well, go ahead and still make some noises. Amen. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory that with you all things are possible. And how your loving hand extends out to each person. Those that may be by themselves, thinking that, oh, the world has been hard on me, the world has been tough on me. Thank you, Father, that the comfort of the Holy Ghost and the fellowship of his sufferings. Jesus was rejected of men. He was despised. He was treated like garbage for you and for me. So I want to thank you, Father, that that rejection in Jesus' name is gone and wiped out because you took the rejection. Spirit of the living God, move on hearts. Speak to lives. Hallelujah. Thank you. With you, Father, all things are possible. If you have an ailment, go ahead and put it on that. Put it on that. You know, my hip just today was hurting a little bit. Go ahead and put it on that and say, thank you, Lord, that himself took my infirmities and bear my sicknesses. Thank you, Lord, that we fight the good fight of faith. We shall not be defeated. We are overcomers. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We'll look to you in every area, in every obstacle. We say, thank you, Lord. What does your word say? Great victory. Great victory is for those that would press through and act on God's word. Don't look at circumstances. Look what the Word of God says. Father, we surrender our lives to you afresh today, knowing that you are well able to put us over in any area of life that's causing us trouble, any area of life that's causing us difficulty. Thank you, Lord God, that we put you in charge, so to speak, and we say we'll act in accordance with what your Word says. Oh, we worship you. We praise you. At Rhema, they sing a little song. They say, faith gives action to the power. Faith gives action to the power. Use your faith. Receive God's power. Amen, and whatever else it says. But anyways, it says, faith gives action to the power. That means that your faith, God's power is always available. But he's looking for you to move your lips. Hey, man, go ahead and say something out of that mouth. Say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, I'm anointed. Thank you, Lord. The presence of God and the power of God is here. Thank you, God. You got signs, wonders, miracles, and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. I'm strong spiritually. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. Thank you, Lord. I'm an overcomer. I'm a believer. I believe your word. Go ahead and activate that faith. Hallelujah. For he's waiting. God is waiting for you to say something. He's waiting for you to activate the power of God. It was done 2,000 years ago. God provided it for us at the cross of Calvary. And it's our place and our position in life to speak. And to act in line with God's word. Oh, we give you praise. Shiko barange seta ramaseta. E papake seka ramashi. E sabakasa fakraso korsukorgoso. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for your power. And thank you for your word. Shimaka takrasa viki sikarabasakara.